All right, if you got a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on, follow along on screen in your outline, or use the Central Church app, Luke chapter 1. That's where you can turn today. That's where we're going to be pretty much the entire time. We're not technically in a series today because it's Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day. Again, happy Mother's Day to moms, yes. Thank you, moms, for all that you do. And we're going to talk a little bit about moms today, just a little bit. We're going to talk about everybody, but we'll hit the mom thing. Don't worry. In order to do that, I need to start off with a question. I know you love it when I ask questions, and this is an all skate. Everybody's got to participate. And don't worry, you cannot get this question wrong. It's a question, though, that's completely subjective to you. Only you. It's up to you. You're the only one that really knows the answer. Here it is. What's the toughest job you ever had? Like physical labor or whatever. What's the toughest job? Tell the person next to you right now so you have something like to connect with. Go ahead and talk about it. Toughest job. Toughest job, it might be the job that you have right now, but toughest job you ever had. I didn't say give your resume. Toughest job. One job. The reason, what got me thinking about this was the other day I was driving down the road and I passed a truck that had so-and-so septic service written on the side of it. And I thought, literally, this is what I thought. Man, that's a crappy job. And then I thought, thank God for that person. Amen? Because I am almost like a gazillion times percent certain that somewhere in the 7th, 8th grade, when they were going around the room saying, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? That guy didn't say, I want to clean septic tanks. Well, I'm glad he does, right? Because I don't want to do it. Can I get an amen somewhere in the room? Let's be a little Baptist this morning. So I was thinking about these jobs, and so I Googled world's toughest jobs. And for the most part, all the lists, there's a ton of lists, like they're almost all identical. Like they all had the same top 10, 15, 20, like military, miner, logger. I mean, we can agree these are tough jobs. Commercial truck driver, police officer, firefighter, first responder, like airline pilot. Some had teachers. But what I found fascinating was nowhere on any list was mother. And I thought, dang, every list was compiled by a man. Because moms have a tough job, amen? Moms, you have it rough because you don't get to call in sick. You don't get to go on strike. I mean, you could, but when you come back off a strike, it's going to be worse than when you went on. Like, you don't get a day off from being a mom. Now, for me, it's difficult to preach on holidays. Many of you know that I'm not a very good theme preacher. And so Mother's Day, Father's Day, even Christmas and Easter, it's just hard for me to come up with messages for those. It's especially difficult for me to preach on Mother's Day because, believe it or not, I have zero experience with being a mother. I've never been a mom. Despite how people who want to label themselves progressive, despite what they say, I can't ever be a mom. That's not a political statement. I'm just following the science, all right? And thank God, because I don't think I would want to be, right? Now, I have used the pregnant man emoji before. I have, but that's only after I ate like a ton of food, and I'm like, food, baby. Anyway, because that's how I feel. So, literally Monday of this week, I'm like, oh God, it's Mother's Day. Like, what do you want me to preach on? Like, I got to have a message. I'm not ready to start a new series yet. I'm still trying to put together, like, how to line up the next one and what messages need to go into it and blah, 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 blah. Like, what do you want me to preach this weekend? And God took me to a passage of Scripture that I preached from during Christmas in Luke about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I was like, God, hey, big dog. It's me, Ryan. This is how we talk to each other, by the way. I was like, hey, big dog, I know you got a lot on your plate right now, like running the universe and answering everybody's prayer requests. And I know that, like, you know, the situation that I'm in, it's nothing compared to what other people are in. But, dude, I preached on that back in December. And God was like, yeah, but it wasn't that good, so you're going to hit it again. And so I've been looking at this the past couple of days, really trying to dig in to what God would have to say, not just to moms, but to all of us in the room. Because at the end of the day, we all need a word from God every single week, every single day. all right? And so I believe with all of my heart, literally from Tuesday to Thursday, I slapped a sign on my door that said sermon prep in progress, do not disturb, and I locked myself away in a different way than I do most weeks. And I believe God showed me three big ideas from this text that he wants to say to every single person in this room. And I need to say this, because every single week, somebody will come up to me after a service, every service, and somebody will say, hey, man, did my wife call you? Did my husband say something to you? Like, did you go to our mailbox and get our mail? Like, were you outside our house listening? Because you were preaching right to me. And most of the time, I would say probably 99.9% of the time, what you need to understand is I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching what God is working on in my life, or that he had worked in my life over the past, you know, several weeks when we're in a series and things like that. And I'm just hoping that what God has said to me and given to me when I put it out to you, there's stuff there that you can grab and hold on to and apply to your life. That has never been more true than this message today and what God is saying to me. And so I'm going to share that with you in hopes that you understand that God is saying the same things to you as well. All of us, whether you're a mom or a dad, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a human. I think I got everybody covered right there. Whoever you are, I believe God wants us to know three things today. And so if you're a note taker, write this down. If you're not a note taker, write this down. Number one, you've got what it takes. You've got what it takes. Now, I know there's somebody here today and you feel like you're stuck in a situation and you want to make it through, but you're not sure you've got what it takes. Well, I'm about to show you from Scripture why I believe you've got what it takes, why I believe I've got what it takes, why I believe that we have got what it takes. Now, let me set this passage up. Mary, the mother of Jesus, when we see this story, is somewhere between the ages of 13 and 16 years old. And this amazing, crazy, stressful, confusing thing happens to her. She's in this small village called Nazareth, and an angel shows up to talk to her. Now, here's what's funny. The angel is talking to Mary, so there's a lot of names involved. There's a lot of detail in this story. And that's because when you're talking to a woman, details matter. Amen? All right. Hey, remember this. Hold on to that. You agreed with that. I'm going to come back to it. All right. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Elizabeth right here is somewhere between the ages of 65 and 70 years old and pregnant. And that's when you're supposed to be a grandma, a great grandma. She's about to become mama. All right. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin. Everyone say virgin. Virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Notice all the names. Lots of names, lots of detail here. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now, this is awkward. We don't think so because we read it every year at Christmas and we know the story, and so we think it's normal. But just think, if you go home today, you go into your bathroom and there's an angel and he says, "Greetings, favored woman." I don't need any help going to the bathroom anymore. I need help changing or something. Now, this reminded me. They're coming and they're talking to Mary, and they're about to give Mary this news that she's going to have Jesus. She's going to carry Jesus. It reminded me, I collect sports cards and sports memorabilia. Many of you don't know that. It's my outside of the church world hobby. But years ago, I bought a really expensive card online. It was one of the first cards I ever bought, not in person, not from an individual, not from a card show, or from a card store where I see the card, look at it, inspect it, hand somebody money, and they give me the card. And so anyway, I was a little worried. And so I asked the guy, I'm like, "Hey man, legitimate question. How are you going to ship this thing? Like, are you going to just like write my name on a plain white envelope and stick this cardboard card in here and mail it to?" Because I'm not real confident in that. He's like, No. I know you made a significant investment, and so the way I ship it really does matter. So he walked me through this process, how he's going to ship it and bubble wrap it, the container he was going to use, all that stuff, because that stuff matters. Because when you have something important, wouldn't you agree it matters how that thing is shipped? And so I was looking at this, and if you're a mom here today, I just want you to think about something for a second. Just think about this. When God was getting ready to send his son to the world, the first thing he did was pick out a mother. The mother, Mary, was his number one draft pick. You have what it takes. You've got what it takes. There's some moms here. I know you get to that place of doubt and that worry and that confusion and that frustration because you have the mama meltdown. You know what I'm talking about? I've seen the mama meltdown. Heck, I have caused the mama meltdown. And you melt down and you wonder, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to raise these kids? Do I have what it takes to allow these kids to survive in my presence over the next 24 hours? Do I have what it takes? Listen to me. You absolutely have what it takes. You know how I know you have what it takes? Because you had a kid, and having a kid is a miracle. Conception, birth, it's a miracle. And you are God's draft choice for that kid, and you have got what it takes. Now, I'll take a step back, and even if you're not a mom, you've got what it takes. Because in Christ, you've got what it takes to overcome anything the world throws at you. You've got what it takes to overcome the addiction. You've got what it takes to overcome depression. You've got what it takes to overcome anxiety. You've got what it takes to get through the valley. In Christ, you've got what it takes to get through the storm. You've got what it takes if you have Christ in you, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, right? So that's number one. Number two, God wants you to know he has an amazing plan for your life. You've got what it takes, and God wants you to know he has an amazing plan for your life. We talk about it around here all the time. You were created on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. On purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. And that's God's plan. His plan, his purpose for your life is absolutely amazing. People ask me all the time, how do I know God's plan? How do I know God's purpose? Ryan, how do I know God's will for my life? Well, let me start off by saying this. The very fact you would ask that question means that God is doing something in your life. You wouldn't ask that question if God wouldn't have led you to ask that question, because you weren't born thinking about God's will. You weren't. You know how you were born? Ticked off and angry. Think about it. Nobody has ever given birth and held on to that baby right away and say, oh, they're such a happy baby. They weren't happy when they were born. They were screaming. They were yelling. They were crying. They were baby cussing. That's what they were doing. Get me back in where I was comfortable. Like they were mad. So the very fact that you would ask, what's God's will, what's God's plan for my life, means that God is working in your life. And here's the good news. God wants us to know his plan for our lives more than we actually want to know it. It's not something he's trying to hide from us. It's something he's trying to reveal to us. He wants us to know his plan for our lives. And I'm about to show you. Like when he reveals it, he gets detailed. Now, I know we talk about next steps here all the time, and I tell you that God's not going to reveal the following step until you take your first step and all of that, but he's detailed in each individual step. Because watch what happens here, verse 29. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. This is what I love. Mary doesn't say anything. She just gives a look. That's how you know the Bible is true, because mamas don't have to say anything, right? Sometimes they just have a look that says, I love you so much. And a look that says, I'm about to freaking kill you. Right? They have a look. And so Mary has this look of being confused and disturbed and watches. The angel sees it, notices it, and just answers. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. How many people know, and I mentioned earlier, and you agreed, so I'll say it again, that when you're talking to a woman, details matter. Watch what the angel tells Mary, because she's going to need some details. All right, men, we don't need details. Women need details, and God knows this. And so God tells Gabriel, hey, she's going to have this look of confusion. She's not going to know what's going on. This is what you need to say. And watch what Gabriel tells her, verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son. That's a detail. That's a gender reveal. Handled it right there. You don't got to blow up no balloon, put no dust in it, have somebody pop it. Like, just right there, you're going to have a son. You will name him Jesus, baby name. Detail number two, you don't got to get on Google. You don't got to buy a baby book. You don't got to narrow it down to your top 10, rip up pieces of paper, throw them in a jar, mix them all around, and pull out Jeffrey. It's Jaira. It says I'm just kidding. That didn't happen that way. Details. He will be very great and will be called Son of the Most High. So in other words, Mary, you're going to have a son. His name is going to be Jesus, and he's going to be great. Mary, you're going to be able to put "My child is perfect" stickers all over the back of your camel. When you go to pick him up from school, like, he's going to have straight A's. He's going to be perfect. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Is this a detailed plan, yes or no? Which is important, because men, like, we don't need details. In fact, men speak an average of about 5,000 words a day. Women speak about 12,000, with gusts up to 25. So don't point. I'm just real talk at Central today. And women, because you're better with details, would you agree that when it comes to giving care, for the most part, women are better than men? Yes or no? Absolutely. You've probably heard me say this before. When it comes to your kids, moms, women, that you know their names, their birth date, their blood type, their allergies, what they love, what they hate, who their friends are, who their enemies are. Men, we're vaguely aware of little people running around in our house, right? Details matter. And men, have you ever felt like you're trying to tell a story and your wife kept interrupting, asking about things that just don't matter? Hey, I saw Marcia today. What was she wearing? Clothes? What her hair look like? She had hair. I just saw Marcia, right? Like you feel like you've explained everything to your wife and your limited amount of words, and she still has a question, and it's frustrating. But don't get frustrated. Gabriel is an angel from heaven. He shares all of this stuff with Mary, and she still has a question. Now, this is a good question. It's a legit question, but still a question. She says, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." Legit question. How can this happen? How can this happen? I'm a virgin. So how do I know God's plan? How do I know God's purpose? How do I know he has an amazing plan for my life? How do I figure that out? Well, that's a good question. It's a good question. How do I know God's plan for my life? Well, there are two main ways, and they work together. They work together. They aren't in opposition. They always, 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 always work together. The first is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, for the most part, we live in a society that when you make a general statement, somebody always gets offended, right? And they get offended because they're the exception to the statement that you're making. So I'm going to make a statement. It's a general statement. Don't get offended by it, all right? Here it is. In general, the grand scheme of things, men are tough, women are tender. Can we agree with that? In general. Now, I know there's the exception. I know you're here, you're the woman, and you love to watch movies where they blow things up, and he loves to watch The Notebook, and he cries every time, all right? But that's the exception for the most part. For the most part, men are physically stronger than women. I know you're pushing back. And listen, all I'm saying is that most men can bench press more than their wives, all right? I know there's a couple here, and you're like, "I can bench press more than my husband." I'm glad you're here, Helga. Glad you brought Eugene, all right? I'm glad you showed up today. You're the exception. And so with all that in mind, let me say this. From what I have seen in all my years of ministry, and this is a straight-up challenge to the men. From what I've seen, women are more open to the role of the Holy Spirit in their life. Because while men might be stronger and men are tough, men also commit more violent crimes. Men are also more likely to struggle with anxiety and depression. Men are also more likely to be incarcerated. Men are more likely to commit suicide. Men, many times, we're so tough that we don't think we need the Spirit of God. But if we're going to live the life that Jesus wants us to live, it's impossible to do without his Holy Spirit. If we're going to live the life that Jesus wants us to live, it's impossible to do so without his Holy Spirit. See, Mary asked a question. She's like, "I mean, that's great, Mr. Angel and all, but I don't know how you do things in the angel world, but here on earth, like, you got to have a boy who got boy parts and a girl with girl parts, and they get together, they have this thing called sex, and if I'm a virgin, how am I going to have a baby?" And the angel answered in verse 35, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit." That's all he had to say. Like, he could have just stopped right there, but he went into detail. "Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Now, there's always a lot of pushback when you talk about the Holy Spirit in church. Because when it comes to the Holy Spirit, the reason most people resist the Holy Spirit is because we have two main ideas about him. Number one, he makes us weak. And number two, he makes us weird. Let's talk about the weird thing for a second. Because everybody in the room knows at least one person who's obsessed with the Holy Spirit. And they're weird. Weird, weird, weird. Let me promise you something. They were weird way before the Holy Spirit got involved. I remember I first started going to church, and I was going to Bible college, and I was kind of meeting new people, and had a couple different friends group, and I got caught up with a group that was really into the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts. I don't believe that any of them ceased. I'm not a cessationist or anything like that. But this group was all talk. They were all caught up in speaking in tongues. And they were all, you got to speak in tongues, evidence of salvation, blah, 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 blah. And so we were at this thing, and they're like, hey, we're going to pray in tongues. And somebody looked at me, and they said, Ryan, do you have a prayer language? And I was like, English. Like, I speak a little bit of Spanish, but not enough that I think God would understand if I was praying to him. And one of my friends, I'm not making this up, they really wanted to pray in tongues. And so the way this group is telling people to pray in tongues is they put their hand on his belly, which, number one, I'm out right there. You ain't touching my belly. I'm out. But they said, this is honest to God, true story. They said, you say this over and over and over again. Just say this. Come in a Honda, leave in a Mazda. 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 Come in a Honda. Hakuna Matata. Come in a Honda, leave in a Mazda. Come in a Honda. And I'm just like, are you talking about cars or Jesus? Listen, I believe all of that, but I'm not talking about cars in order to, you know, like, whatever. The Holy Spirit doesn't make us weird. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. Number two, the Holy Spirit makes people weak. You've seen, whether it's on TV or maybe you've been in churches where people are up front and they're crying uncontrollably, they're weeping, somebody touches their forehead, they fall to the ground, people are stuck on the ground, can't move, or they're spinning around in circles laughing, and they say, oh, I got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you weak. See, this is something I talk about when I talk about the Holy Spirit, because I love this story. It shows the power of the Spirit of God. By the way, Mary, when she got told she was going to get pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, it took 9 months to have Jesus. Because the work that God wants to do in us, through his Holy Spirit, it's a process. That's a word I hate. I hate the word process. But God's always working out in a process. So he's working out a process. And so if you're not where you need to be right now, don't worry, because you're in a process. I mean, you might not be showing yet, but how many of you know when you get pregnant, eventually it's going to show? So keep that in mind with the Holy Spirit. So there's a story about a guy named Samson. Most of us know him from the book of Judges, but we really only know one story about him, the story where he went to the satanic salon, got the haircut from hell, and everything turned out bad. But there's so much more to his life and his story. And I'm going to show you what happens when the work of the Holy Spirit happens through Samson. Judges chapter 14, verse 5. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. Can you imagine a lion coming at you? Can we all agree? When a lion comes after you, like, it's over. Like, just hope somebody's with you and you can trip them and outrun them. Like, that's it. Verse 6. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him and he prayed the lion away. That's not what it says, does it? Watch what happens. Came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat. That's the Spirit of God. He's walking down the road. A lion comes out after him, and he's like, get off me! The part that bothers me the most about this is, like, was goat ripping a sport back then? Like, I don't even know what that is. Why did they bring that in? Now, I thought of something this week that I never thought of ever before, and it fired me up. It says the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped apart what animal's mouth? Lion. A what? A what?
A lion.
Let's all get it together on three. One, two, three.
Lion.
Why does that matter? Well, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, stay alert. For your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring looking for someone to devour. If I've got the Spirit of God living in me, then the enemy can take his best shot and I can still rip his work apart. I can still rip him apart, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You're stronger than you think. You're stronger than you think by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? So you've got the Spirit of God. The second thing is you've got the Word of God. Spirit of God and the Word of God. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God always, 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 always work together. They're never in opposition. The Spirit of God is not going to tell you to do something that's not in the Word of God. You're not going to read something in the Word of God that the Spirit of God is not telling you to do. And so you cannot just say, well, the Holy Spirit told me, if it's in opposition to the Word of God. See, words matter. Many of you know that. And the power of God's word in our life is so amazing and so resilient. Watch what happens after the angel tells Mary about the Spirit. He talks about the word. And by the way, just by the way, another general statement, women are more open to the word of God than men. Now, some of you might push back on that, but think about this. Let's say after church today, you go to Walmart or Target, depending on your level of redneck or white girlness. And let's say you buy a baby crib. You come home and you start putting the baby crib together. The man is just going to start assembling the crib. The woman's going to do what? Read the instructions. Hey, it says right here, I know how to put a crib together. I've been putting cribs together for years. This ain't my first crib. Baby, look, it says it's upside down. You're upside down. Like, she'll read the instructions. It's the same thing with the Word of God. Men, when it comes to God's Word, are you open to His instructions? All of us. Are we open to His instructions? This is what the angel tells Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 36. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say, I'm going to come back to that in a minute, that's huge. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. She's like 65 years old. And in this time period, in this culture, we talked about it the entire last series, if you couldn't have a kid, you were considered cursed or damned by God for either something you did or your family did. So every time Elizabeth or her husband Zechariah would walk around, people would be like, oh, there's that girl. There's that girl. Something wrong with her. Man, she is a sinner. Don't go near her. Then at 65, she gets pregnant. And I love that for a lot of reasons. Number one, because they're 65 and still trying. Praise God. Don't judge me. It's in the text. It's right here in the text. You see it, right? I ain't the only one who sees it. I ain't the only guy in here excited about that. But see, for years, everybody said she was barren. But then the Word of God steps in and says, no, she's not barren. She's a blessing. Look at the words in that text. People used to say she was barren. Anybody in here haunted by what people used to say? Maybe by even what they still say? People say you're an addict. People say you're drunk. People say you're no good. People say you're worthless. But God says, no, you're priceless. God says you were worth so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross for your sin. So I don't care what people used to say. I'm obsessed with what God is currently saying. And when we get obsessed with what He's currently saying, we don't have to worry about what anybody else is saying. Amen? Elizabeth's going to have a baby. This is all according to the Word of God. And then verse 37, I love this. For the Word of God will never fail. For the Word of God will never fail. Ever, ever, ever fail. God's Word. God's Spirit and God's Word. Are you open to God's Spirit moving in your life? Are you open to God's Word in your life? Which leads to number three. The third thing I believe God wants to say is you're going to make it through this. You're going to make it through this. Some of you are in the middle of something right now and you had no idea it was going to hit. I believe God wants you to know you're going to make it through this. Let me set this up like this. How many of you drive a truck? Not like an 18-wheeler, but like a pickup truck, a Dodge, a Chevy, a Ford, or something like that. I didn't know the truck rule when I got my very first truck. Now I'm good with it because I know the truck rule, and just to let you know, I'm the exception to the truck rule. I will use the truck rule against you because I don't have a truck anymore. I have a Jeep, and so, like, you don't get to be the exception. I'm the only one. But for some reason, when you drive a pickup truck, all your friends automatically think that you want to help them move. Am I right? Like, I don't know if there is one, but if there's not, we should design one that says, yes, I have a truck. No, I don't want to help you move, all right? Like, I don't have any desire. But I didn't know that. So I got my first truck, and a friend called me, and she's like, hey, Ryan, I got a few things I need to move from my current apartment to my new apartment. Would you be willing to help? And I said, yes, because I didn't know. I got to her apartment. She did have a few things. A washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, and the biggest desk that I had ever seen in my entire life. And she's on the third floor. Now, she had her brother-in-law there to help, but he was the Eugene married to the Helga, and Helga wasn't there. He wasn't a lot of help. Like the whole time, like I envisioned like using him as a dolly, like strapping the refrigerator to him and just shoving him down the steps. Like, I remember that day so well. I was sweating, I was crying, almost faked a heart attack, almost had a legit heart attack. And I was like, am I going to get through this? Am I going to make it? Now, I know that's a goofy example, but every single one of us have been in a place where we have thought, am I going to make it through this? If you're a mom, you've been in that place. If you're a dad, you've been in that place. Listen, Mary, we tend to try to not humanize Bible characters. We think that because we know the end of the story, that Mary knew everything. We sing the song every year, or we hear it. We don't sing it here, but we hear it. Mary, did you know? And I always want to stand up and go, no! She didn't know! But she said yes. And after she said yes, stuff started happening. She didn't know what was going to happen. And it got kind of crazy. And I'll bet you she was like, man, God, I'm not sure I made the right decision. Now, I know that sounds heretical and sacrilegious, but watch what happens after she says yes. This is her yes, verse 38. Mary responded, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Then an angel left her. But she had no idea what she said yes to. She had no idea. For example, was her reputation ruined, yes or no? Yeah. Because how many people, honestly, how many people in her small town do you think bought into the virgin birth story? How many? About that many. A week before Jesus was born, about a week, Joseph had to go back to Bethlehem. It's about a week-long journey, and they took a donkey. Now, ladies, again, I've never been pregnant, so I don't know anything about the last week of pregnancy, but I'm just guessing. I'm guessing that on your last week, you don't want to go for a donkey ride the entire week just to go where your husband needs you to go. She had no idea. That's all right, it's central. I had no idea you were going to say that. So, she had no idea that before Jesus was 2 years old, literally bounty hunters were going to be coming trying to kill him. Herod wanted to have him killed. She had no idea she was going to have to flee to Egypt and live as a refugee. She didn't know. She had no idea. She had no idea that sometime between the ages of Jesus being 12 and 30, that Joseph was going to die. She had no idea she was going to be a single mom, stuck with not just Jesus, but the two of them had other kids. She had no idea. She had no idea that she was going to watch her son be put on trial, beaten, mocked, crucified, and killed. Can you imagine her pain and her confusion? God, I thought this is what you wanted. God, you sent the angel, and you told me all of these things were going to happen, and he was going to be great, and he was going to have a king, that he was going to be a king. Did I miss something, God? She had no idea. But she also had no idea that 3 days later, her son was going to come back to life. He would live again. And when that happened, it made everything else worth it. She made it through. It wasn't always easy, but she made it through. Somebody here needs to know today you're going to make it through. The storm you're in the middle of right now, you're going to make it through. You're going to make it through the valley you're in. You're going to make it through that difficult situation. You're going to overcome this bout with depression. You're going to overcome this deal with anxiety. You're going to overcome this fear. You're going to overcome this dysfunction. You're going to overcome the thing that is overcoming you by the power of God through his Spirit and his Word. You will overcome it. Because as followers of Jesus, the only thing we have to be submissive to is Jesus himself. You're going to make it because you were created on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. And God has an amazing plan for your life, and he will bring you through. You will overcome. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray over every single person in this room, God, that you would just give us the peace that passes all understanding. God, I pray for the person or the people who are in a place that we just thought we would never be, and we feel stuck, uncertain, full of fear and worry and doubt and confusion and frustration. God, that you would speak to our hearts right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe that's you. Maybe you're filled with fear, doubt, worry, confusion, frustration, anger, Why don't you just lay that at the feet of Jesus right now? Just picture yourself laying that at his feet. Just go ahead. Just lay it down. And then picture yourself walking away. Are you open to God's plan for your life? Maybe for the first time, you need to say, God, what do you want for my life? How do you want me to live? God, what's my next step? God, whatever it is, I'm open. Maybe you're here and you've never prayed to receive Jesus Christ. You've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. And you know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's your next step. You need to receive Jesus. You hear me talk about it every week. You've never done it. But it's been pulling on you, weighing on you. And you know you need to do it. You know you've never asked Jesus to save you from your sins. And if that's you, I want to invite you to pray with me right now. If you want to ask Jesus into your life, just pray this in your heart. Just say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. And Jesus, I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you rose from the grave, and I believe you did that to pay for my sin. And so right now, I ask you to come into my life and take complete control. Be my Lord, be my God, be my King, and be my Savior. All of me for all of you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me.